Today's shiur is Masech Baba Kama, Daf Tzadik Dalad. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Gimel on the base, 8 lines from the bottom. At the end of the previous shiur, we discussed the concept of shinui. If something happens, there's a change. And the subject we were talking about were somebody stole something, and the gazlan, there was a change to the object that was stolen. We spoke about Reishis Hageis, if somebody took off the wool from the sheep that belongs to the Kayin, but he made a change in it, does that change affect the ownership or not? Shina b'mekayim ha'aymed, or shina ein b'mekayim ha'aymed. Does a shina make a difference halachically in the ownership of the item? So our Gemara begins today, Amar Abai, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Beishami, Rav Lez ben Yaakov, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Shmuel, Kula Svir Lahu, they all are of the opinion the chinui became oimid. The chinui doesn't make a difference, and it's still considered the property of the original owner. But in beginning our shir, we have many times in Shas this type of a Gemara, where the Gemara identifies a number of tanoim agreeing to one opinion. But if we look at the language, if we watch the language of the Gemara says it in two different ways that have a very significant meaning, difference of meaning. Sometimes the Gemara uses the wording kula svirlei, and sometimes the Gemara uses the words kula amru davar echad. They all said the same thing. And it's a very, very different meaning when those two terminologies are used. When the Gemara uses the words kula svirlei, as our Gemara uses it, it's not that they're exactly all agreeing. What it means to say is that to one degree or another, conceptually, they agree to this concept, but not that they are exactly agreeing and under all circumstances. When the Gemara, however, uses the words Amru Davar Echad, there the Gemara means that they're exactly in agreement. And the Nafkamina would be a very serious Nafkamina. The Nafkamina would be if the Gemara uses the words Amru Davar Echad, so we have a number of Tanoim agreeing. When we have a number of Tanoim agreeing, the halacha will be like all of those Tanoim. However, when the Gemara says kula svir lahu, it's since they're not exactly identical, so we don't have a large group of Tanoim in agreement. And since we don't have a large group of Tanoim in agreement, there the halacha will not necessarily be this way. So that's the situation here, explained the Rishonim, that we have a circumstance of kula svir lahu, they all to one degree or another degree hold that shinui b'mekayim ha'aymed, that the transition doesn't make a difference, but they're not totally in agreement. What do we mean? Rav Shimon ben Yehuda Adamaran, we learned at the end of yesterday's shir, that even if the wool was dyed, it doesn't mean that there was a shinui, that it should no longer be the kayins. B'shamayim, what does it mean regarding b'shamayim? Actually, a gesugya that we learned, Daf Samchei, the Tanya, Nos Nachit Besnona. The Torah says, Misavi Estan Zoyna, O Mechir Kelev, Beis Hashem Alkecha, Tavas Hashem Alkecha Gam Shneim. Something that's given to a Zoyna as payment, or something that's given as an exchange for a dog, may not be brought as a carbon. What would be the halacha, says the Braisa? If wheat was given to a zayna, and she turned into flour, olives that were turned into oil, anovim vasim yayin, grapes that were turned into wine, tanichad asr, and one price that says that these items remain asr to be brought to the base of Mikdash, v'tani idach, and another price that says mutter. V'amar Rabbi Yosef, tani gurion de misparak, how do we reconcile these two contradictory brises? The brise that says it's osur, Beishamai Oisrim, represents the opinion of Beishamai, or Beishilil Beitirim. The brise that says it's mutter is Beishilil's opinion. My tam to Beishamai. Why does Beishamai hold that even if it underwent this transformation, it remains an Estan Zoyna? Because Omakra, the pasuk uses the words, Gam Shneim, L'rabba Shneuayim, that even if they were transformed, they remain osur. Or Beishilil disagrees, because he says, Omakra haim, haim v'loshnu yayim. Only the actual item is asr, but if it was transformed, it will no longer be asr. of Beis Hillel. How does Beis Hillel respond to Beis Shammai? Beis Hillel says, Amakra, Haim. Haim v'loy shnuyayim. Only the actual item, not if it was transformed. Ask the Gemara, Beis Shammai uksav Haim. What will Beis Shammai do with the word Haim? Answers the Gemara, Hahumi Bailei, Beis Shammai will tell us that the word Haim comes to teach us, Haim v'loy v'ladaseim. That if an animal was given to a Zayna as a payment, and it was pregnant, the child born will not be considered an Esnon Zayna. Or Beis Hillel say, Tar Tishampinah. The word Haim teaches us two halachas. It comes to teach us Haim v'loy shnuyayim, that if the Esnon Zayna was transformed, it's no longer an Esnon Zayna. And also, Haim v'loy v'ladaseim, that the child is not included. Ask the Gemara, Beis Hillel, Nami Yuksav Gam. Doesn't the pasuk use the word Gam? That Beis Shammai says that the word Gam is coming to teach us that even if the Esnon Zayna was changed, it's Aser. Says the Gemara, indeed, Gam Beis Hillel Kasha. The word Gam, according to Beis Hillel, does pose as a difficulty. So here we see, according to Beis Shammai, that even though it was a Shinui, doesn't change the fact that it's Aser. As when we learned the Gemara on Daf Samchei, we pointed out, and we've made this point another times, that there's a difference when the Gemara uses the word Kasha versus when the Gemara uses the word Teyufta. When the Gemara uses the word Kasha, it means there's a question, but there's an answer to the question. When the Gemara uses the word Teyufta, that means the Gemara can't find a Teretz. So if the Gemara used here the word Gam, what is the Teretz? So we said then, in the name of Mefarshim, of Achrayim, they said that Beis Hillel, even though Beis Hillel says that if the Esnan was transformed, it's no longer an Esnan, the Pasuk has come to teach us that if it can be reversed, even though reversing it would take effort, then it's not considered adequately transformed, and even Beis Hillel will say that's still considered an Esnan. As we learn this Gemara, there are two questions that the Achronim ask. One question is a very fundamental question. Where do we find in Halacha that if an item was transformed, it should no longer be Aser? If we take a non-piece of kosher meat and we cook it, a raw piece of non-kosher meat, and we cook it, does it become kosher? That here, we're having a discussion that if the Esnan was transformed, it should no longer be Aser. That's one question. Another question that's asked is, the Gemara just said, that according to Beis Hillel, we learn two halachas from the word haim. Haim v'loy shinuyayim, haim v'loy v'ladaseyim. Which is very unusual that we learn two different halachas from one word. How are we doing that? So in answer to the first question, one answer I saw is that there's a difference when something is inherently usur versus when it's usur because of an external factor. A piece of non-kosher meat, says Reb David Pavarsky, is inherently non-kosher. And therefore, just because you cook it or you transform it, doesn't make it kosher. Here, there's nothing wrong with the item inherently that was given to the Zayna. There's an issue that it was payment for a Zayna that makes it Aser. There the halacha is that if it's transformed, it's no longer Aser. That's one teretz. But another teretz that I saw, then Yeshua discusses this teretz, Dar Sameach says a similar vart, that the Torah uses the words Toyevas Hashem. An item that was given to a Zayna is mos. It's disgusting. That should not be brought as a carbon. But if it's not the same item, if it was transformed, if the olives were made into oil and the grapes were made into the wine, it's not that item that's mos. And therefore, the halacha is that if it was transformed, it could be used on the Mizbeach. Furthermore, the concept of Shniehem and the concept of Lodaseim is essentially the same. The point is that we don't have in front of us the actual item that was given to the Zayna as payment. And therefore, the concept of Haim V'lo Shniehem and Haim V'lo Lodaseim is the same concept, and it doesn't represent that we're learning two disparate dinim from one pasuk. Continues the Gemara, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Mahi. Where do we see that according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, a shinui doesn't make a difference? The Tanya Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer. Hareisha goes a social chitim. If somebody stole some wheat, tochna losha v'ofa, he kneaded it, he grinded, kneaded it, baked it, and then v'hifreshimena chala, and he wants to take off chala from it, keitza mevorech, he can't make a bracha. Eimza mevorech elamanatz. It's not called a bracha when you're making a bracha that came through an aveira. V'alzen nemar v'itzeya berech niyetz Hashem. So the pasuk pshat in the Gemara is that the Gemara is teaching us that you, when we take off challah, we're supposed to make a bracha lahafresh challah min isa. You can't make a bracha under such circumstances where you received the dough through an aveira. Others say that what the Gemara means to say is that you can make the bracha, but it's a poor quality bracha. But we're going to learn with the first pshat that you can't make such a bracha. Mefarshim ask, why does the Gemara have to say all of these various steps? Grinding, kneading, baking. What's the point of the Gemara? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that the Gemara means to say that even though it went through so many different stages, since it began with an aveira, you're not allowed to make the bracha. Another pshat is that there are two types of doughs. There's something known as a blila ava and something known as a blila raka. A blila raka is like a bread dough, a pizza dough. A blila raka is a batter, which you will make a muffin, for example, out of. When you have a blila ova, when you have a dough made with a blila ova, the chiv hafrosh eschala indeed comes as soon as you have the dough. But when you have a blila raka, the hafrosh eschala only comes after you bake the muffin. And that's why it says that you baked it, and now it comes the chiv, but you don't make the bracha because you did this aveira. The question that comes up, Machloikus Rishonim, Machloikus Rambam and Ravid, is as follows. Let's say somebody were to steal a food item. Can he make the Berachas Hanenim? Steals a piece of bread, do you make a Hamaitzi? The Rambam says, the same Gemara as we have here, but say a Berach, Nietz Hashem, you can't make a Bracha. The Rambam, the Ravid, says no. Our Gemara is speaking about the Berachas HaMitzvahs, of Lahafish Chala. But the Berachas Hanenen, Hamotzi, Mezoinus, whatever the food is, that you do make, even if you stole the food item. What's Pshat in the Rambam? So I saw one Pshat in the Rambam like this. The Gemara, we're going to learn later in the Amid, says that this is actually a situation of a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. You're making a bracha, but how did you obtain the food? Through stealing it. It's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Ask the Noi de Behuda, a mitzvah baba aveira usually means that the aveira helps you do the mitzvah. Here the aveira and the mitzvah are two separate issues. So why is this called a mitzvah baba aveira? Says the Noi de Behuda, that when it comes to saying a bracha to Hashem, it has to be something that's pure, with no sin involved. And here if you have a food that you stole, you can't make a bracha. And therefore here there's a higher level that we have to be careful. Interesting to note, that the Tzitz Eliezer says that even though Al Gemara is teaching us that you can't make a bracha, a mitzvah, on something that you stole, and the Rambam even says that you can't make a berachas hanenen on something that you stole, what would be the halacha if you have wine that you stole? Could you make kiddush Friday night on that wine? And he wants to suggest that everybody would agree you can make a bracha, because it's not a berachas mitzvah. It's not that you're using the wine, that you're doing something, a bracha on the wine, the mitzvah. Furthermore, it's not a berachas hanenem. I'm not talking about a priya goffin. I'm talking about the bracha mekadosh Shabbos. It's just that on Friday night, you're supposed to say kiddush l'kovet Shabbos, and wine is the vehicle how you do it. And therefore, he suggests that everybody agrees that wine that was stolen can be used as a bracha to make a bracha Friday night for kiddush, mekadosh Shabbos. An interesting shaila that I saw from the Michsalaza. He discusses such a question. Let's say somebody attempted suicide, but he didn't die. He actually was brought to the hospital and he's recovered. So we know that somebody who's ill and who recovers has to bench Gaimel. The question is, does this person say the Berachas HaGaimel? Because how did he get to this stage? Because he did an Aveira. You know how to commit suicide. So does such a person make the Berachas HaGaimel? What is the question really? It's a cute question. What is the question based on? The question is based on, what is the Berachas HaGaimel said for? If the Brichas HaGomel said for the refuah, so the refuah he had. The fact that he brought it upon himself doesn't change the reality that he had a refuah. If, however, the Brichas HaGomel is said because he came into a situation and got out of it, here he brought it upon himself, and perhaps he doesn't say the Brichas HaGomel. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon ben Lazar Maihi. Where do we find Rav Shimon ben Lazar holding that Shinu b'mekoy ma'amid? The Tanya. Klal ze Amr Rav Shimon ben Lazar. Kol shvach shishbiach gazlan. If the gazlan made the item that he stole better, the halach is yada el yoyna. He's in the upper position. Rotza noitel shivchay. If he wants, and the Gemara will explain what this means in a moment. Rotza noitel shivchay. He could take the upgrade in value. Rotza oimalai racial color for necha. Ask the Gemara, my kamar. What exactly does Rav Shimon ben Lazar mean to say? Amr Shesh is hach kamar. This is what he means to say. Shvichoy, if it goes up in value, noitel shivcha, he could take the upgrade kachash, but let's say it goes down in value, oimalai racial color for necha. He could tell the person that he stole from, here's your item back. Why? The shinim kaima aimed. Because it doesn't make a difference. It's still considered the property of the person who was stolen from. Ask the Gemara if that's the rule. That doesn't make a difference that it changed. So even if it went up in value, why doesn't it get returned to the person who was stolen from? Answers the Gemara, by right, it should be returned. There's a special reason, which we'll speak more about in Amud Beis. Chazal wanted that it should be easy for somebody to do tshuva and return what he stole. And if it's going to go up in value, particularly if it was because of his effort and his resources, he's not going to be anxious to give it back. That's why Chazal say the gazlan keeps it and just give back the value of what you stole. Rav Shmuel Maihi, where's the opinion of Rav Shmuel? The Tanya. Mitzvahs pay lafresh min akoma. We know one of the matnas aniyim is that we're supposed to leave over the corner of the field for aniyim while it's still standing grain. Lof rishman akama, if he didn't take it off while it's still standing, mafishman oimrim, so he takes off paya when it sheaves. Lahif rishman oimrim, if he didn't take it off while it sheaves, mafishman akri achlay marchu, he could take it off even from the crap until it wasn't finished being processed. However, mirchay, once it was finished processing, Maiser v'noisenloi. He only gives Maiser, but he doesn't have to give pay anymore. The Rishonim point out that not only would he have to give Maiser, but he would have to give Truma also. So they ask, if that is indeed the din, why doesn't the Braiser speak about Truma? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that since the halach is chita achas by teres sakri, even one kernel, you fulfill the mitzvah of Truma, so it's obvious that you're going to give Truma. Another teres is that the proper order is to first take Truma and then take Maiser. So if the Braisa is saying that you're giving Maiser, obviously you already gave Truma because Truma always precedes Maiser. Another teretz that I saw is that the word Maiser is a general term that includes in it both the obligation to give Maiser and give Truma. And that's what the Braisa means. Shmuel says, "Af mafreshman eisav v'noisenloi." You always have to give payah, even though it's so transformed that it's already a baked bread. Although you have to give payah still. Ask the Gemara, "Omer le'rapap la'baya, ichbol kol hani tanoi l'shmirta be'shamay." All of the opinions that we've learned here follow the opinion of Be'shamay. So we need. And we know that the halacha is always like Beis Hillel. So we have the entire Gemara just to follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. Amrei. So respond, hachikamer. This is what I meant to say. In my opinion, Beis Hillel agree with Beis Shammai. Amrei Rava. So Rava says, we have said, the Gemara has said, that the point of all of these tanoim is that they hold shinui b'mekoy ma'amid. The transformation doesn't change ownership. Says the Gemara, who says that's pshat and what they were saying? Dilma, at kan lo kamer Reb Shimon ben Yehuda. When did Reb Shimon ben Yehuda say that if you colored it, you dyed it, it doesn't make a difference? El betsever har v'yachla v'yali, that's fine. Like we learned at the end of the previous year, since the dye could be removed by detergent, that's why it's not considered a shinui. But it could well be that Reb Shimon will agree that if it went through an irreversible shinui, It's not mekayim oimid. Furthermore, va'at kan lekamri beis shamai hasam. You know what beis shamai said about the esnan that even went through a transformation. You can't bring it to the mizbeach el gavaya because we're talking about something that's going to be brought to the base of mikdash. And as we explained, mishum de imis, that type of an item, even though it went through a transformation, should not be brought to the base of mikdash. Furthermore, va'at kan lekamri beis Yaakov hasam. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that even though the dough, the grain, went through such a transformation, you still don't make a bracha. Elin yin bracha, shindav alei mitzah, baba aveira, as we mentioned earlier. That kind of comes from Elazar hasam, el bachosh shudahadr. Since it's something that could be reversed, that's why he says that if the gazlan, even though the gazlan transformed it, but he transformed it in a way that it could be reversed, that's why it still could be given back. But it could well be that if it was transformed irreversibly, he would agree that Shinu is not be mekayim oimid. That kind of comes from Shmuel Hossam, Elin Yim Peya. Only by the din of Peya is the halacha that even though it was transformed, you still have to give Peya. Why? Bishum, Peya has a special din. Bishum, the Ksiv Tazov Yisera. The Torah says an extra word, Tazov, to teach us that even though it underwent transformation, it still has a chiyuv peya. V'chi teima, if you say that by peya there's a special din, that even though it was transformed, it doesn't change, so why don't we say the peya becomes the source for kol ha'tayra kula, for all other areas of halacha, that change doesn't make a difference. V'chi teima ligma menei, why don't we learn from peya to other areas? And says the Gemara, Matnas Aniyim Shani. Matnas Aniyim is different, it's treated differently. Which actually leads us to this following discussion. Kedabai Rabbi Yonason, says the Gemara. Dabai Rabbi Yonason, my Tamdir Shmuel. When Rabbi Shmuel says that even though you transformed the grain to a great degree, you still have to take a payah, what is Rabbi Shmuel's reasoning? Is it, asked Rabbi Yonason, Mishum the Kesav Shinu and the Kaina, that transformation doesn't make a difference? A dilma, or perhaps, but alma kasava shinu koina. Usually, Rabbi Shmuel will hold that change does make a difference. V'hocha, why over here doesn't it make a difference? Shum deksiv, taz of yisera. Because the Torah added the word tazoif to teach us that here, specifically, change doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara. Vim tim tzloim tam de Rishmol. And if you will suggest that the reasoning of Rabbi Shmuel is, v'shum deksava shinu ene koina, that shinui doesn't make a difference. So now we'll have a question. Taz of Yisayu the Kos Rachman alamali. So why did the Torah have to say the word Tazoif? Furthermore, asked the Gemara, the Sula Rabbanon, that according to Rabbanon, that if you did transform it, you're no longer Chayiv and Peya. So what will they do with the word Tazoif? Taz of Yisayu the Kos Rachmana, according to Rabbanon Lomali, what will they do with that word? Answers the Gemara, Miboy Lechatanya. They're going to learn the following din. But the Brisa says, Hamafka Karmai, if somebody owns a vineyard or any field, the Hishkan Labaikur Batsrai, so first he was mafkrit, and then in the morning he reclaims it, the aloch is Chai Beperet Ba'olos B'Shicha, or Bepeya. Even though normally the aloch is that food that is hefker, there is no Chiv Matnas Aniyim, there is a special din that if somebody was first mafker his field, and then he reclaims it, he is not exempt from Matnas Aniyim, or Potim and Amaisa. That's what the extra word Tazif tells us. There are two Machloikas Rishonim here. One Machloikas Rishonim is, we're saying that if somebody reclaimed the field, he's Chayiv in the Matnas Aniyim, does he have to reclaim the entire field, or is it enough that he reclaims the produce? That's one Machloikas Rishonim. Another Machloikas Rishonim is this din only said to the original owner. That means I owned the field. I was mafkrit, and then I reclaimed it. Then there is a halacha that I'm chayv in matnas aniyim. But what would be the halacha if I was mafkrit the field and you claimed it? Since it wasn't originally yours and you took it from hefker, you'll never be chayv in matnas aniyim. That's one opinion. Other rishonim suggest it makes no difference if it was the original owner that claimed it or someone else claims it, the chayv matnas aniyim comes in. Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Amishmul, Halacha of Shimon Elazar. The halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that shinui mekaymei oimid. Ask the Gemara that if somebody, if a ganav changed it, it shinui mekaymei oimid, it still remains the original owners. Ask the Gemara, umi omer. Ask the Gemara, mi amishmul hachi, did Shmuel indeed pask in that way? Well, mishmul, ain't shaman, loy leganef, loy legazlan, el nezokim, which means as follows. Concept that we discussed a lot at the beginning of the Masechta. Beginning of the Masechta, we learned that if somebody kills someone else's shor, so let's say the shor when it was alive, with the axe when it was alive, was worth $100. And now the carcass is worth $30. So the halacha is that the nizik takes the carcass, which is worth $30, and I, the mazik, have to pay the differential, the $70. But that's a special din, as we learned, by nizokin. What would be the halacha if somebody damaged, stole, I mean, somebody else's animal, and the animal died? And again, we have the same situation. I stole an animal that's worth $100. It dies. The carcass is worth $30. The animal's worth $100. The halacha is, I keep the carcass, and I have to give you back $100. So we see that if there's a shinui, it becomes the ganef. So how could we say that Shmuel paskins, that shinui b'mekayim ha'ayman, that if there's a change, it doesn't make a difference? Don't we clearly see from here that if there's a change, it becomes the gazlins? Says the Gemara. According to Rava, the Amish Kikam Rav Shimon ben Elazar, when did Rav Shimon ben Elazar say that a shinui, that even though there was a shinui, it remains the person who was stolen was strictly bachosh the hadar, a shinui which is reversible? So we have an easy way of answering this question. Loikasha. When is the halacha falak Rav Shimon Elazar that even though there was a change, it remains the original owners, strictly the shinui b'mekayim ha'ayman, strictly in a situation b'chashu d'hadar, a reversible change. That it becomes the gazlan's property, el nezokin b'chashu d'hadar, where it's reversible. El labaya, asked the Gemara. Doma, kikam Rav Shimon Elazar. The Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says that even though it was changed, an irreversible change, hachosh d'lo hador, kamar, still it remains the original owner. How do we reconcile that on one side we said halachas like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and another place Shmuel says ein shonim lo leganav lo legazlan, Michael Meima, says the Gemara, Abaye Masni Hachi, Amr Yehuda Mishmuel, Amr Halach Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he said that they said in the yeshiva. That Shmuel said that there were opinions that followed like Rav Shimon ben Elazar. However, he, Shmuel himself, Leila Sfirle, doesn't agree with those opinions. Amar Rav Chivar Abba Amar Rav Yochan. Dva Toira, Gzela Hanishtanis, Midaraisa, even if the item that was stolen changed, Chayzeres Beinel. You give it back as it is. Shinemar, because the Pasuk uses the words, Vaheshiv Gzela Shagazal. Become Mokim. No matter what state it is in, it should be returned. Vim timer, but if you will ask, Mishnah Seinu, doesn't our Mishnah we just learned yesterday teach us that if it changed, then you don't give it back? There is a special din, Mishum Takanas Hashavim. Chazal, as we said, and we'll discuss some more in a moment, wanted to make it easy for somebody to return something that he stole. And if a person will steal something and work with it and improve it, and then have to give it back, he'll be reluctant to do tshuva. Chazal wanted to encourage people to do tshuva. How do we encourage the people to do tshuva? By making it easy to do tshuva. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan say this? Vam Rabbi Yochanan Halach Kestam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan throughout Shas always says that we follow the opinion of an anonymous Mishnah. V'tanan, and we learned in the Mishnah, L'hispik litan lo yachit tzavoy, if you didn't give the Reishis Hageis to the Kohen until you transformed it, Potter, you no longer chayv to give it because it was transformed. So here we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Shinui does make a difference. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that Shinui doesn't make a difference? Answers the Gemara. Amalai humed Rabbanon for Yaakov Shmei l'dayim l'farn shleim v'neid Rabbi Yochanan. When was it speaking about? When does Rabbi Yochanan say that change doesn't make a difference? As we discussed yesterday, where you take 2x4s and you fashion it into a keli. Since it's a havelei shinu echazel b'riyasai, it's a reversible change. That's when Rabbi Yochanan says that shinui doesn't make a difference with the raisa. But where it's irreversible, Rabbi Yochanan will agree that you don't have to return the actual item that was stolen. You only have to give back the value of what you stole. Tan rabbanan, hagazlonim. If somebody steals something, or malvi beribis, or he borrows with ribis, shechziru, even if they want to return an item, a makam man, the person, the original owner, shouldn't accept it. If somebody returns it, it's not chazal. If somebody accepts it in return, chazal are dissatisfied. And there's a fundamental machlokes rishonim. What does this mean? Some rishonim explain what it means is that the gazlan has an obligation to return it, but the owner has an obligation to refuse to accept it. That's one way. Another way of explaining it is that Chazal exempted the gazlan from returning the item that he stole. What's the nafkamina? There's a very big nafkamina. Let's say the original owner owes money or whatever to other people. So for him to be Michael and for him to forgive the gazlan from returning it, he has no right. How could he be such a tzaddik and forgive the gazlan when it's going to adversely affect his creditors whom he owes money to? So if we say that it's the gazlan who's exempt, so the gazlan is exempt, he doesn't have to return it. If, on the other hand, it's the nigzal, it's the original owner who has to forgive, it'll make a difference if the original owner has debts that he has to cover, then he has no right to forgive. If he doesn't have debts, he has rights to forgive. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'mei Rabbi Nishtas Mishnazu. This was taught in the time of Rabbi. The Tanya, ma'is ba'adam achad, shabikish lasa tshuva. There was an individual who was a gazlan his whole life, and he wanted a tshuva. Amalei ishto, his wife told him, Reka, you empty person, imat oisa tshuva, afila abnet enishlcha. Everything you have is stolen. You'll be left with nothing. V'nimna v'loyasa tshuva. And that's what prevented him from doing tshuva. The Bashar says that they would very typically wear money belts. And she said, you'll have to empty out your entire money belt because all the money you have is stolen money. At that time, Chazal said, ask Tosfos and all the Rishonim, this Gemara is a gavaldige chiddush. If somebody stole, he doesn't have to return. Now, they ask that throughout Shas, we've learned such cases. The Gemara speaks about many situations where people stole and they were forced to return the stolen item. So what's the Gemara saying that you don't have to return? So there are a number of answers given. One answer the Rishonim give is, as the Gemara says, B'mei Rebbe Nishnas Mishnazu. This was a special takana in the time of Rebbe. Apparently, there was an epidemic of Gzela in that time, and Chazal wanted to encourage people to do tshuva, so they made this rule. That's one pshat. Another pshat they say is, if a person steals once or twice, of course he has to return what he stole. The takana the Rebbe made is as the Gemara's story goes. A person that was a full-time gazlan, and everything he owed, he got b'gzela. There, Chazal were lenient, because otherwise, he'll never end up doing tshuva. A third pshat that the Rishonim give is it makes a difference what happened. If we have a gazlan who wants to do tshuva, so we want to encourage him to do tshuva, so there halach is he doesn't have to return. But if it's not a case where a gazlan on his own wants to do tshuva, he was caught as a gazlan, and now we tell him, return. So he didn't really want to do tshuva. He was put into the corner. There he has to actually return what he stole. Meisvei, Hanich lahem, Aviyem Marshal Ribis, if their father passed away and he left them money that he got through Ribis, which we know is Osir, Api Shein Yoidim Shein Ribis, even though they're well aware that the way the father earned this money was through Ribis, Talochas Talis, Ein Chayiv Lahachzir. They don't have to return it to the people that paid the ribas to their father, the interest to the father. What is the Braisa saying? Inu hu deloy. They don't have to return something that their father received through ribas. Havim, if their father were alive, chayiv lachzer, he would have to return what he received through ribas. But we just learned that Rebbe made a takana, the malvei beribas don't have to return. Answers the Gemara, but then who daviu nami ani chayiv lachzer. It wouldn't make a difference. If the father were alive, since Rebbe taught us a takana that you don't have to return, the father would also not have to return. So why did the Braisa choose to speak about the Yarshim? Why did the Braisa choose to speak about the father himself, who he was the one that received the rivets? For Hadu Tani B'Dadhu, the reason the Braisa chose to speak about the children and not the father, Vishum the Gemboy Lemisni Sefer. Because since the Sefer teaches us, it's not that they just left, that the father left cash. He left a specific item that could be identified that he received through ribbis. So every time they'll go out with that para, or they'll go out with that talis, people will say, you know how these Yorshim got that talis? Because their father was a person who received ribbis. Chayavim lahachzer b'nei kvod aviyim. Then not only would the father have to return a dover hamasuyim, but even the Yorshim have to return a dover hamasuyim. So therefore, Tana Reisha nami b'datu. So that's why the Reisha also speaks about them, that if it's not a dover hamasuyim, they don't have to return it. But that then doesn't only apply to the Yorshim, it actually even applies to the father. Ask the Gemara, umnei kvod aviyim chayavim lahachzer. We're saying that if the father left a dover hamasuyim that he received because of through a ribbis payment, they must return it because of honor, their father's honor. Why isn't this a situation? Asked the Gemara. Ikri kan v'nasi ba'amcha loysar. The Torah says we're not allowed to curse a nasi, and we always learn from this pasuk that anybody who we must give covet to, we only have to give him covet ba'ayis amas amcha if he acts properly. But if he doesn't act properly, you don't have to give him covet. Here, their father obviously is not oisa masamcha. He's a person that lent on ribbis. So why do they have to be concerned about their father's honor? Answers the Gemara, could amar pinchas b'shasa tshuva. The father did tshuva. And that's why they have to show him honor. Hachinami b'asa tshuva. Ask the Gemara, how could we say that the father was about tshuva? Iyasa tshuva, if the father had done tshuva, mabay gabe, why did he still have this item in his possession? Shouldn't he have returned it? Answers the Gemara, the father did tshuva, and indeed he wanted to return what he received through ribbis, but he didn't have a chance to return it before he passed away. So about tshuva he was, and therefore his children, his yarshim, have every obligation to show him the proper respect. And if he left a dover hamasuyim that he received through ribbis, they must return it. But if it wasn't a dover hamasuyim, they don't have to return it because of takanas hashava. Toshma, hagazlon ma'avi b'rovitz, abi shagavu gazmachzirim. Gazlonim, ask them, what is my shagavu ik? What does it mean that they collected? E gazel gazel. If it's a stolen item, it's a stolen item. Ve'i loy gazel, it's not a stolen item. El eima, hagazlonim. What is the case of gazlonim? My niu malva ribius abi shagavu machzirin. So we see that there is no takana, and the rule is that that somebody received something beribis must return it. Not like we're learning in the name of Rabbi. Answers the Gemara machzirin ve'makalmhem. They have the obligation. If somebody received something illegally, if somebody received something through ribis, he has the obligation to return it. The one that paid it should not take it in return. So ask the Gemara, if he's not going to take it, so why do you return it? To show that you want to do the right thing. So both parties should do the right thing. The person who received the ribbis should attempt to repay it, and the person that's going to get this payment should forgive him in order to help him do tshuva.
What? So, am I so who works on the money? person receiving or the yahshua. Shall we?
Yeah.